Happy Mother's Day! Let's give a hand to all our moms. Come on now. Happy Mother's Day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I pray that you have already posted on social media, given a card, given a hug, called your mom, whatever, and we're going to have a wonderful day celebrating moms today. I'm going to ask you to stand as we go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to go right into worship this morning. So glad to see you all here today, and expecting this to be a wonderful day together. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Today is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice in it. Thank you for our moms today, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just worship you. Lord, we pray right now that you would just pour out your Spirit upon your people. Lord, we would be open vessels, willing to receive and to hear from you. And Lord, maybe we just worship with all of our heart today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship.
praise your name, Jesus. We worship you today, Jesus, because you are worthy, God. You are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Whisper
Voices to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We lift our voices to you, God, and we praise your name, Jesus. We praise your holy and mighty name today, God. We praise your holy name today, Jesus. God, you are one, you are the one King, Lord Jesus, the one voice that can stomp our enemy, Lord Jesus. You are the one name, Lord Jesus, that is higher than any other name that can be proclaimed, Lord Jesus. God, we just glorify your name, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that you reign and you rule over this earth, Lord God, and anything that we face falls underneath your power, Lord Jesus. God, in your presence, Lord Jesus, mountains crumble, Lord God. In your presence, Lord Jesus. In your presence, God, demons bow their knee, Lord Jesus. In your presence, Lord Jesus, fear and anxiety have to leave, God. In your presence, Lord Jesus, we stand in strength, Lord God, under your presence and under your authority, Lord Jesus, that you have given us, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. God, in your presence, Lord Jesus, we stand, Lord Jesus, victorious. We stand victorious in your presence, Lord Jesus. And we fight every battle, Lord Jesus, with our hands lifted high, God. We fight every battle, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are the one that reigns, Lord Jesus. You are the one that stands and wins in the end, Lord Jesus. And because of you, Jesus, we are right there beside you. God, because you died on a cross for us, Lord Jesus, we have the ability to stand with you, God, and to stand under your presence, Lord Jesus, and to feel your strength wrap around us, God. Because of you, God, we can come to your throne, Lord Jesus, and we can make our requests to you, God. And you listen, Lord Jesus, you listen to our hearts and you listen to the cries of our hearts, God. And you answer us, Jesus. We praise you, God. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We will lift our eyes. We won't fear the fight. There is one stronger, heart pressed on each side, we will not lose sight of the one who's greater. One name holds every victory, one voice that silences the enemy, one King who reigns for all. Your power is
Praise God. One name holds every victory. One name, the name above all names, brings salvation, changes lives, heals hurts, encourages, strengthens, helps, protects, provides, meets needs. Amen. What is that name? Can't hear you. One more time. Amen. Amen. Let's just give Jesus praise right now. Just lift your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift our hands to you, God, in praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like for us to remember Robert and Joyce's family. Robert and Joyce's eldest grandson passed away a couple of days ago. Their oldest son, Stephen's son, Zach, 31 years old. And Pat, let's just pray for Robert and Joyce and for their family, for Stephen and his wife, all the family, that the Lord would bring them comfort and peace. Marilyn Gill's in the hospital, the heart hospital. Let's just pray for her this morning. And I don't know what needs you have today, but the Lord is able to meet each one. Amen. You have a need today, just lift up your hand. You see somebody with their hand raised, would you just go to them right now and just lay your hand on their shoulder and pray for them right now, very quickly, just move. If you have a need today, we're going to believe that God's going to touch and heal some people today. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Father, as we move towards our brothers and sisters in the Lord right now, we just pray, God, as we lay hands on them, that you would indeed touch them. Father God, you said we're two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst, Lord. And if we agree as touching anything, that it would be done. Father God, we just speak to the mountains of discouragement. We pray for the mountain. We speak to the mountains of problems and health and problems and finances and problems in relationships. Father, we just pray for peace for the Smith family. We just pray that you would just bring comfort and peace to them right now. We don't understand why these things happen, but it's a part of life. And somehow, Father God, we just got to believe and trust that you are going to make everything okay. Lord, that you're going to take care of. You knew what was happening. And you know the future. And Father, we pray for Marilyn in the hospital. Touch her this morning and every need here today, God. We lift up these needs to you right now. We lift up our nation to you. We just pray, God, that your hand be upon our nation, Lord. We've strayed away from you and we're paying the price. Lord, we've sowed to the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. Father God, I just pray for a massive move of the Spirit across this land, Lord, to where we can once again turn our hearts and our minds and our eyes toward you. Become one nation under God again. Father God, we just pray for our America. We pray, Father God, for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, God, that you would bless Israel today. As you said, those who bless her will be blessed. Those who curse her will be cursed. Genesis 12:3. Father God, we just pray right now that you would just let your will be done in this service today, God. We're thankful for each one that's here and those watching online. We just pray, God, that you would do something special in the hearts and the lives of every single one today. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Take a moment, greet three or four people around you. Tell them you're glad to see them this morning.
Hey, ladies.
Hey. Oh, I am so glad we could get together for mom coffee again.
Totally. I love it, you guys.
Okay, so I have a confession to make.
Ooh,
dish. I don't know about you guys, but when I try to go to bed at night, I have like 4,000 thoughts that go through my head rapid fire.
Oh, me too. Yeah, it's totally a mom thing.
Okay, like tomorrow, I'm going to be present. You know, I'm gonna put down my phone, and I'm gonna cherish every single moment I have with my kids.
Yes, put down the social media when the kids are home.
I don't need to keep scrolling. I am not gonna yell at them.
Nope, we're gonna use positive reinforcement.
Mm. I'm gonna be patient, and when they talk back to me, I'm gonna be totally calm, and I'm gonna respond appropriately.
Yes, like if she says something sassy to me, I'm going to respond with a Bible verse.
There you go.
And when they start fighting, we're gonna do conflict resolution.
Right, like what's your Enneagram, and what's your Enneagram, and how can we work this out?
Yes, we are gonna have peace in the home.
Peace in the home.
You know what else I'm gonna do? Personalized lunches. I'm gonna write a note to each of my children every day.
You gotta do notes and lunches.
All the moms are doing notes and lunches. I'm not gonna be the one mom that doesn't.
And I'm gonna feed them healthy food.
I am not gonna feed her Cheez-Its for breakfast and lunch and snack.
And we need to get outside more, you know, just go for a walk or something.
Yes, we are gonna play outside every day.
And I am gonna lead by example. I am gonna start working out.
My body is a temple, and I'm gonna start taking care of it so that I can show my kids.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm gonna do tomorrow? I'm gonna go to the store and I'm gonna buy a bunch of bins and I'm gonna organize all the toys.
I'm gonna lay out all their outfits the night before in my own outfit.
I am going to make a food journal, a gratitude journal, and a project journal.
I'm gonna go on YouTube and I'm gonna learn how to make those cool braids.
And I'm gonna read my son 5 books every night, and we're gonna read every word on every page. I'm not gonna skip anything.
And stop. Dear moms, if you're watching this right now, we just want you to know you're already amazing.
You are rock stars,
and you're already doing enough.
God gave you everything you need to bless your family every single day.
So keep doing what you're doing.
Because you're wonderful, you're noticed, and you're appreciated.
Okay, well, I'm going to use the bathroom while I can still do it alone.
Oh, great idea.
Let's do this.
Couldn't find the mic. It's like, where's the mic at? Happy Mother's Day to our moms. Anybody, any of you moms relate to that video? Yeah. Yeah. Pastor gave me the job of picking out the Mother's Day video, and I was dying laughing in my office. And sometimes you watch videos and you think about a particular person, and I hope I don't embarrass her today, but I felt like that in that circle with my wife would have been Stephanie Velasquez. So literally felt like, I was like, this is their lives. So thank you so much, moms, for all that you do. And let's do this. Let's let the moms set, and let's all stand that aren't, and let's clap for our moms. Come on, stand up and clap for them. Come on, stand up. Let's clap for our moms. Yay, moms. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. If for nothing else, for magically making my socks come back into my drawer again. I found out they don't do that on their own, Pastor. Did you know that? I didn't say undies. I said socks. That too, though. All right. We're going to draw some names this morning, and 3 moms are going to win gift cards. And I don't know anything. Pastor did the gift cards. So, Pastor, tell me about the gift cards.
There are 3 gift cards from Wendy's. Y'all don't like Wendy's? No, there are 3 gift cards, $75 each, from Charleston's.
Let's go! All right, and we have an esteemed member of our congregation who's coming to draw the names because Pastor and I are chicken. And so Darren is always up for a challenge, so Darren is going to come pick names for us today. So let's give Darren a hand. You cannot look, Darren. Darren's trying to pick his grandma's name out so he can go to Charleston's. All right, here we go. All right, Darren. All right, here we go. Don't show. It's the dramatic. Oh, I love this lady right here. I love her. I'm hoping she'll take me with her. Martha Graham. Martha Graham. Pastor's delivering your gift card. Miss Martha, don't take George. Take me. I am 100% sure I'm a better conversationalist. So, sorry, George, I love you. All right, don't hurt me. All right, here we go. Come on. Somebody's invisible friend. It's literally blank. Pastor Steve. No. All right. That's out. That one's out. All right. That was crazy. Somebody. Oh, I love this lady too. And she does not want to take Doug. Glenna Bomber! Way to go, Miss Glenna. Doug does not deserve you. Love you, Dougie. All right, we got one more. Oh, who's on the edge of their seat? Woo! All right. Oh, I know this lady too. Amber Davis. Congratulations, Amber. Yeah. We love all of you moms, and we wish that we could just give everybody out gift cards, but I hope that the gift cards are a blessing to those who won today. And once again, my schedule's open. So, just teasing, kind of. We have a few announcements for you, but before we do that, just want to say welcome to all of you this morning. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed praise and worship, and I know that you're going to be challenged by the message this morning. But if you're a visitor today and you didn't get a little card on the way in, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you would fill that out and place it in the offering bag, helps us just kind of have a record of your attendance, tells us, hey, you came to visit, and we'll be able to give a shout out back and say, hey, thanks for coming to see us today. But welcome everyone, whether you're here in this place or whether you're online. I try to remember to wave at everybody online. They're actually going to see this wave in about 10 seconds. How many of you ever watched online? It's a 10-second delay. If you ought to try it sometime. Look at it on one. No, you know, am I supposed to say that? Because they won't be paying attention to you, Pastor. Just do it for a second. Go online in a minute, and you'll see that what you hear Pastor say, your friend at home's not hearing it for 10 more seconds. So that way, in case Pastor gives his Social Security number out, we can cut the feed quick. So that would never happen. Right, Ms. Carol? Yeah. So we have a few announcements for you this morning. This coming up Saturday is our ladies' women's Bible study. Women's Bible study starts at 9:30 right here. I think they had 15 or so this last Bible study, and would love for you to join. It's anybody that'd like to come, and so they'll be meeting here in this main building at 9:30, and love for you to be a part of that. And the next Sunday, you do not want to miss. We have back-to-back things in the morning and in the afternoon, evening that are going to be awesome. Next Sunday morning, we'll be honoring our graduates, and so you're going to want to be here for that and see all the slideshow and the memories and the acknowledgement of this great accomplishment of graduating high school. And then in the evening, we're doing the cookout at Randy and Cheryl Brown's, and Mr. Randy's right there. He's going to wave. Look, there's Mr. Randy. And he wants you to come out and start fellowship at 4 p.m., all right? So it's right there in the bulletin, 4 p.m. The food will start about 5 p.m. or so, and Mr. Randy's supplying burgers and ribs and all the good stuff, and you will not go away hungry, I guarantee you that. We're asking anybody brings a side or dessert or both, and bring a lawn chair. That would be be awesome too. So you have some place to sit. We have some seating, but it's always great to bring a chair. And if you would do us a favor, we're trying to get a better idea of burgers and ribs and all that. There's a sign up out in the foyer. And if you'll sign up your family just on one line, you know, so if you'll notice on there, it says Freeman's, and then there's a six next to it. That way they know there's six in our group. And that'll give us a kind of an idea of how many people are planning on coming. If for some reason you forget to sign up, I still want to say you're still allowed to come, bring a friend, whatever, but it just gives us a kind of a ballpark idea, and that will help us as we move forward. Kids camp and youth camp signups are happening right now. Kids camp, you can sign up on the table over in the youth building, kids building. Youth, you need to come see me. All the girls' spots are sold out. I still have some guys' spots, and also still have some availability for those that maybe want a scholarship, a student. You can come see me as far as that goes. And man, summer is here. It is upon us. Can you believe it? We're halfway through May, and we have a lot of great things happening. Already began. I want to challenge you to begin to pray for our missions team as we prepare to go to New York in July. And so we're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good, and we are excited about all that's happening around here. And make sure you read your bulletin, because I'm sure there's some things in there that I did not cover. So, all right. Lord, we thank you so much once again for your provision. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for the opportunity to sow seed into the kingdom. And we pray and thank you that right now in faith, we believe that people will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask that you would put your hand upon the children's ministry and the youth ministry, upon our missions, endeavors, and all that happens here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Thank the Lord that he was watching over us last Thursday evening, huh? I know some businesses in town got some damage, like quite a bit of major damage, but thankful that I don't believe there was anyone hurt or loss of life, and so we're thankful for that. And how many of you were praying Tuesday night? Yeah, I was standing on my driveway praying. I didn't go to a shelter like a dummy. I just watched it, but anyway, thankful for the Lord's protection. Take your Bibles, if you would, and let me say Happy Mother's Day as well to all of you moms here today, and in honor of our moms. Everybody may not be a mom, but everybody has a mom or had a mom if they've already passed on, which many of your mothers have passed on, and we're thankful. So everybody has a mom that we honor. The Bible just says honor your parents. Some say, well, I didn't have a really great mom. You know, she didn't treat me well or whatever, you know, the case it may be. I shared on Facebook the story of Nicky Cruz that someone had shared with me, and how his mom treated him terrible, you know. But you know what? The Bible says honor them, and they gave you life. You wouldn't be here otherwise. So we honor them whether they were good or not so good. And then, of course, we're just thankful that the Lord can take things that are not so great and turn them around. Amen. Praise God. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to continue the series today. And the message is titled, Message Sent. Message Sent. So we're going to begin today at chapter 6 and verse 6, down through verse 13. We actually ended on verse 6, but we're going to pick up there again today. We ended there last week. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know that your word is alive and active and powerful. It's not just words on a page, but they are spirit-inspired, anointed words that we read. They are your words, and those words have power. And we just pray, Lord, that as the word is preached today and as it goes out from this pulpit to this sanctuary and even beyond, Lord, that you would accomplish many things in the hearts of people and the hearers today. And we ask for your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon your servant in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Again, continuing our remarkable series as we preach on the life and teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Being Mother's Day, let me say here at the outset of this message that every one of the disciples that Jesus sent out that we just read about, y'all know this, they all had a mom. They all had a mom that brought them into the world. And though we don't know any of them and the part that they played in their upbringing to become a follower of Jesus, we honor them and are thankful for them. Just as we honor our mothers today and we are grateful for them. Those of you who are moms here today and you are doing your best to help your children be followers of Jesus, hats off to you. Your input, your prayers, your example, your faithfulness will pay off in the years to come. So keep up the good work. And for sure, don't stop praying for your children, for your grandchildren, if you've reached that point. Don't stop praying for them. They need all the prayers, all the church functions and services and ministries and preaching and teaching and examples that they can possibly get. Amen? They need godly examples. They need to be in the house of the Lord. They need to be in youth, in Sunday school, in every single function that is out there for them in the church. We are living in the last days where Satan has really ramped up his evil and his deception. Satan is doing his best to take down our young people in this generation. But God is greater, and by our example, by our prayers, by our steadfast faithfulness, they can be, speaking of our children, they can be victors instead of victims to the devil's ungodly, hellish, terrible, evil schemes. I'm glad that Jesus is victor. He is greater. And as his followers, as his children, as his people, we can be victors as well. Amen? On our phones, there is a phrase that pops up when we have sent a message to someone. What is that? Message sent. Message sent. In these verses that we just read, we see Jesus sending his message of repentance out by way of his 12 disciples. He sent them out by twos. I think he did this so that they could encourage one another and they could instruct one another and, if necessary, correct one another. You remember one time James and John, Jesus corrected them because they were out there and the people weren't listening. And they said, boy, call down fire from heaven and destroy them. And God says, hey, hold on, guys. No, let's not do that. So I'm sure that there would be some times when maybe one apostle would be out there and he'd be ready to do something that isn't what he should do is in the flesh, and the other would say, "No, no, no, that's not what Jesus would want us to do." I remember a time when I was in college. It was actually my second year of college. We had a youth pastor at the church we were attending, and the college was kind of a part of the youth ministry there. And the youth pastor's name was Gary, and he said, "This Saturday, I want to invite all of you young people, all of you college kids to come out, and we're going to knock doors in Tuttle, Oklahoma. We're going to invite people to church because we need to be out there." And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I was in the midst of college and working and all that, but I showed up on that Saturday because I thought, yeah, I want to be out there and inviting people to church and doing my part to help reach Tuttle, Oklahoma. And so when I got there, expecting several other cars there, it was just me and the youth pastor. I was the only one that showed up to go knocking doors in Tuttle. So Gary said, "Well, Steve, it's just you and me, looks like. Let's go." "All right." So he says, "Have you done much of this?" I said, "No, I really haven't done much of that. Cold turkey, just knocking on someone's door and asking if they're a believer, if they go to church." And so he goes, "Well, I'll do the first two or three." And so we start through Tuttle, and we come to the first door. "Well, hello." And this little sweet grandma, you know, and of course, I'm just watching. I'm just standing back. Gary says, "Well, hello. I'm Gary Whitlock, and this is my friend Steve Lance, and we're from Lighthouse Pentecostal Holiness Church here in Tuttle, and we just want to invite you to church." "Oh, that's so sweet. We are so glad you were out there doing it. There needs to be more people out there doing that like that." And we just had a good conversation, you know. I thought, well, hey, that's great. And so we go to the next door. "Hello," and we went through the same spiel, and it was a little family, you know. "Well, we're so glad you came by. We've actually been thinking about going to church somewhere. We haven't got a church home, and I've got three little kids, and thank you for coming to our door today. Praise God. I'm glad you showed up." And boy, and so Gary said, "Well, could we pray with you?" And yeah, and so the first three or four doors, they were all like that. I mean, just like, well, this is easy. All these people are receptive. Well, then Gary said, "Steve, you're next. You do the next one, and I'll stand back." Okay, we can do this. I've told this story before here. Some of you already know. So I go to the door. No one comes. All of a sudden, the door swings open. "What do you want?" This guy had a Coors in one hand and a big cigar in the other, and looks scruffy and mean, like something you'd see at the horror show, you know. "What do you want?" I couldn't remember what a name was there for a second. You know, and I stumbled through it. So that was my experience at knocking doors. But no, we went on, and I shared that because it was real encouraging to have Gary right there. "It's okay, Steve, it's okay. It's a lot easier to do things when you have a partner, amen. It's encouraging in ministry to do things in ministry, even in the church, when you've got somebody else doing it with you. That's the importance of church and building relationships, is doing life and ministry together. God doesn't call us to be lone rangers and just be solo out there on our own. He wants us to work together and to be a part of a body. So Jesus is still sending out that message today. By virtue and by way of his followers. And, oh, I skipped something. One of the reasons I was even at that place of ministry with my youth pastor in Tuttle, Oklahoma, knocking doors, the whole reason I was there was because of the influence of that couple right back there, my parents. Because of the influence of other youth pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, VBS people, and pastors that I had had the previous 19 years. So again, thank you. Thank you, moms. Thank you, parents. Thank you, preachers and teachers and pastors and leaders and examples. The Lord is still sending out people today, but instead of 12, there are millions and millions of carriers of the message, crusaders for the cross. In country after country, the Lord has raised up Christ ambassadors to represent his kingdom and prepare the way for hearts and lives to be changed. So let's look at these verses a little more in depth. I've somewhat divided these verses into three parts and a conclusion. No, I didn't say in conclusion. Haven't got that part yet. Some of you are already grabbing your stuff or ready to head out. So three parts to the message. Number one, and some of these aren't going to make sense until I develop what they mean, but microwave versus oven. Mark chapter 6, verse 6, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. As I said last Sunday, would you rather Jesus be amazed, or 2 weeks ago, Jesus be amazed at your unbelief or amazed at your faith? That's kind of how we ended it 2 weeks ago. Would you rather Jesus be amazed at your unbelief or at your faith? Which way are you and I leaning in that regard? Remember I told you there was two times Jesus, it says in the gospel, was amazed. One was he was amazed at their unbelief, and the other one when he was amazed at their faith. So which way are you leaning today? I hope you've thought about it over the last couple of weeks. Which way am I leaning? How is the Lord going to be amazed? At my faith or at my unbelief? In the last part of verse 6, we see Jesus going from village to village, focusing more on teaching rather than the miracles. Jesus made a shift in his approach. He had been doing miracles, 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 healing people, blind, casting out demons, and raising the dead. He had done all that, as we've seen over the last 5.5, 6 chapters, if we've been studying this. Another example when Jesus made a shift like that was in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He began what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And that happened after a great time of healing and miracles. Look back at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. This is right preceding the Sermon on the Mount. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and the people soon began bringing him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and from the east of the Jordan River. He's been healing. He's been doing all these mighty works, and people, crowds are following him from all over the place. Well, then Jesus shifts into teaching mode. It says in Matthew 5, and one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around them, and he began to what? He began to teach them. He made a shift. He broke away from the healings and the miracles at that time and for a while, and went up on the mountainside and began to teach the disciples. Why would he do that when he was doing something with such amazing results? Crowds were following. Lives are being changed, and epileptics healed, and paralyzed people healed, and all these things. Why did suddenly Jesus bring that to a halt, so to speak, and go up on the mountainside and begin to teach? I mean, even today, crowds will come out for a healing service, but stay home when it's only the teaching of the Bible on the agenda. Dr. George Wood, in his book Fearless, says this: too often we seek for the Lord to do something for us rather than in us. We pray more for a change in our external circumstances than for transformation of our internal attitudes. But Jesus is more concerned with the kind of person we are on the inside than how things are going on the outside.
He is far more interested on our bodies being his temple in which he dwells than what kind of house our body lives in. End of quote. You see, the ministry of healing and miracles are not superior to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Jesus did both, and so did the early church. I told Brother Ronnie that the Sunday school lesson this morning could have fit right in with this message. It dovetailed in perfectly. And I didn't even realize what the Sunday school lesson was till earlier this morning I was reading it. They did both. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the prayer and the breaking of bread and fellowship. And the Lord added to their number and did great miracles, all working together. The gospel ministry is most powerful when there is both working together, teaching, preaching, and miracles and healings. Some works of God are like a microwave, where the result is rather instant. We like that kind, right? We pray for something and boom, instantly it happens. Other works of God are like an oven, where the process takes time, or slower yet, a crock pot. The microwave represents miracles and deliverances and instant healings. The oven represents wholeness, growth, discipleship, and maturity. The microwave view of prayer says to the Lord, I want it now. But the oven may answer, it may take time. The microwave operates in the gift of faith, one of the gifts of the Spirit. And the oven operates in perseverance and trust. Both are needed. Someone once said, if it's all power and signs and wonders and miracles, you may blow up. If it's all just teaching and preaching, with none of the other, you may dry up. But if both are in place, you grow up. We don't want to blow up or dry up. How many of you know we want to grow up? We need the signs, the wonders, the teachings, the healings and the deliverances and all those manifestations of the Holy Spirit that get people out of problem situations. But we also need the preaching and the teaching and the Word of God and grow up in our faith and in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what changes us on the inside, changes our attitudes. Jesus knew that only doing miracles and healings for people would benefit them during their earthly lifetime, but teaching and preaching would benefit them in this life and for eternity. You know, let's say I got really sick. Let's say that all of a sudden something happened to me and I was deathly sick. And some people prayed and the Lord touched me and healed me and instantly I was made whole. That would be great. But you know what? I'm not going to live forever in this body. Someday this body is going to pass away. But the teaching and the preaching and the Word of God that won't return void, as it's applied into my heart, guess what? I'm taking that with me to heaven. And it just may be helping me get to heaven. May, listen, there's some stars by the next four statements, okay? You know what that means. We better listen up. Star one here. May we hunger, listen to me now, may we hunger as much for God to work in us as we do for God to work for us. Let us not minimize his power nor underrate his words. Both the microwave and the oven have a place in our lives and in our church life as a whole. Hence, the prayer meeting on Wednesday night should be just as much of a priority as the worship service on Sunday. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. You may not like me for that, but I said it because it's true. We have pretty much eliminated Sunday night service as we have known for years. We do other things. We have men's meetings, women's meetings, special services as announced, or various fellowships or whatever, connect groups. But one thing we have not eliminated, never will eliminate, is the Sunday morning worship service and Sunday school and Wednesday night prayer meeting. They both should be a priority in our lives. And that leads to point number two, Lincoln versus Buchanan. Say again, what Lincoln, Buchanan? What Bible are you reading? I'll get there. Most of us, most all of us here today wouldn't know, except you might now because of what I just told you, wouldn't know who the 15th president of the United States was. But most all of us would know who the 16th president of the United States was. The 15th president of the United States was James Buchanan, and the 16th president of the United States was Abraham Lincoln. The reason we don't remember the president before Lincoln has to do with authority and with power. Both presidents had the same constitutional authority, and both presidents held the same office. The difference is only one of them fully exercised the power of his office. Jesus had authority and power, and we've seen him exercise it over the last few months in the first six chapters of Mark. As we've studied the gospel, we've seen him exercise the authority and power that he has. However, he didn't just reserve that exercise of his authority and power to himself alone. First, we see him giving it to his apostles in Mark chapter 3. Back a few verses, or a few chapters back in 3, 14 and 15, it says, "Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons." They were given the authority and the power there. Then they begin exercising that authority in where we read today, and the Lord reminded them of it in Mark 6, 7. In Mark 6, 7, it says, "And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits." Again, he reminds them, he sends them out. But we find in Mark 6, 12 and 13, the last two verses we read today says, "So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God, and they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil." So they had been given it, but until now they had not exercised it. The Holy Spirit is given to us as believers that the life, teaching, and power of Jesus may be exercised through his people. If we become spiritual James Buchanans holding the office of Christian but not exercising its power, then those around us will never know that Jesus is Lord. So how do we be like Lincoln and exercise the power and authority of Jesus? That's what we're called to do. That's what the disciples were sent out to do. And guess what? We are sent out to do the same thing as believers. We are sent out to take the gospel. We are to send the message. We are to exercise the power and authority of Christ. How do we do that? Well, one of the main ways is prayer, and especially intercessory prayer. We have an intercessory prayer group that meets here on Tuesday mornings at 9:30 to 10:30. Intercessory prayer, praying, fasting and prayer. When we fast and pray, we exercise that power and authority. Laying on of hands of the sick and casting out of demons if that is an issue. Praying for people, utilizing all the gifts of the Spirit. Displaying the fruit of the Spirit, witnessing, working in the fields of ministry, prioritizing worship, prayer, and fellowship in the body of Christ. spending quality time reading and meditating and studying the Word of God and staying filled with the Spirit. Those are a few ways that we exercise the power and authority that Jesus has given us. Church, there is darkness and evil all around us, and the Lord of the harvest has sent us to address it. Let me say that again. There is darkness and evil all around us, and the Lord of the harvest has sent us as a church body here in Noble to address it. And not just here, but around the world as we give to missions. Our constant prayer must be, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit, use me. Lord, I don't want to be a figurehead Christian James Buchanan. I want to be an on-fire Abraham Lincoln when it comes to the authority and the exercise of that authority in prayer that you have put into my life as a believer. Without exercising the priority of prayer, the darkness will not be overcome. Without exercising the priority of prayer, the message may be sent, but not delivered. Without exercising the priority of prayer, the exercise of power and authority will not happen. We will again, like I mentioned a moment ago, be spiritual Buchanans, but not on fire Lincolns. Which one do you want to be? A spiritual Buchanan or an on fire Lincoln? Which one do I want to be? The answer should be obvious to both questions. How many people will continue to be lost in eternal darkness while we are making up our minds? Lord, help us. Help us to exercise the power and the authority, just like the disciples did. They went out. And they exercised the tools and used the tools they were given. And how did they empower those tools? The power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer, we may take a saw and gonna cut a board. And what's wrong with this thing? It's got a blade on it. It's supposed to spin around. It's got a switch. I keep pushing the switch and it won't do anything. I guess I'll have to get my old handsaw out. This jigsaw they sold me from Home Depot won't work. It's not doing anything. Blade's not even turning. How many times do we as Christians try to cut down a board because we haven't plugged into the power? The power of the Holy Spirit was given that the church might have the authority and the power to do what Jesus told us to do. Third point, small versus many. Jesus knows that we need a small vision before we're ready for the big one. His ultimate goal was to send his followers out into all the world, but he didn't start there. He first gave the 12 a limited commission with three distinct restrictions. First of all, he said he limited their geography. You cannot go to the Gentiles. You cannot go to the Samaritans. That would come later as they would come to understand that the Lord loves them too. At this point, they were just to go into the towns around Israel. Secondly, he limited their baggage. He said, no suitcases, no backpacks, no money. Only a staff and shoes is all you can take with you. And the reason he did that is he wanted them to do something with their ministry. Don't just sit around and wait for things to happen. In other words, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to get out and get with it, or they're going to be hungry and homeless. You got to get out there and work. You got to get out there and earn your living as well as do the ministry. So he limited their baggage and their geography. Thirdly, he limited their words. He didn't want them to get into arguments. What did he tell them to do if they didn't receive it? To shake the dust off your feet. go on down the road. Leave them to their fate. He didn't want them to get into an argument of words. That might be something we ought to think about a little more. In our day of social websites, Facebook, you know, it really doesn't do much good most of the time to get into some big argument. Now, there are times when, and you need the Holy Spirit's help to know when you should get into a discussion with sometimes, but sometimes you're just, as the old saying says, casting your pearls before swine. I see Christians get into all these arguments on Facebook. Like, what are they doing? All you're doing is eliminating the people that you ought to be reaching. Now, there is a time. There is a verse in Proverbs 26. In fact, this is not even in the message. I just thought of this. But let me show you something. It's always puzzled me. Proverbs 26, verse 4, and Proverbs 26, verse 5. Let me just, some of you may not realize this is in the Bible. The first time I read it, I go, what on earth is this talking about? Proverbs 26, 4 says, don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. Okay, don't argue, don't answer foolish arguments. Okay, verse 5, next verse. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation. Well, which way is it? Don't answer the foolish argument of fools, or it will become as foolish as they are. Verse 5, be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they'll become wise in their own estimation. I'm thinking, I don't get that. Until one person that was a little wiser and smarter than me said, that's because there is a time to answer and there's a time not to. You need the Holy Spirit to show you whether you ought to get in some kind of argument on Facebook or social networks. There may become a time you do need to say something, and most of the time on the social network place is not the time to do it. So, the disciples knew enough about Jesus to testify about him, and they could exercise his power and his authority to meet the needs and confirm their words. The last verse of the Gospel of Mark tells us that is exactly what they did. Mark 16, 20, we will get there in 20 years from now when we get to the end of Mark. Hopefully it's shorter than then. Mark 16, 20 says this, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So they did go out, and they did exercise their authority. They didn't sit around like James Buchanan's. They stood up and acted in the authority they were given like Abraham Lincoln. Don't sit around waiting for bigger and better opportunities. Do the small things you can do and let God give you more. Matthew 25, 23. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. If we're faithful in doing the small stuff, God will give you more. The church I served before coming here, I was youth pastor at for 10 years. And there was a particular man in the church that would always come up to the pastor. He never told me this, but the pastor told me this. He goes, yeah, so-and-so always comes up to me and asks me when I'm going to let him preach on Sunday morning. And this guy had never really been a pastor or a preacher, really hadn't had any formal training. He was just really on fire for the Lord. He said, I've got a message. When are you going to let me get up and preach on Sunday? And the pastor would say, well, you know, we're having some trouble filling the nursing home down here. I can't find some people to do that. And would you go and fill in at the nursing home? Oh, no, I can't do that. I've got a pulpit ministry. No, I can't do that. You need to find somebody else for that. But anytime you're ready for me on Sunday morning and preach in the pulpit, well, holler at me. And the pastor said, I never could get him to see that if you'll be faithful in the smaller things, not to lessen the ministry to the nursing home, but you know what I'm saying. The smaller, not so visible, vocal things. When you do that, then the Lord will move you on into other areas. Big versus small. When we do the little things like they were big things, God will do the big things like they were little things. Great ministries and destinies spring forth out of daily faithfulness. As we are faithful to the Lord on a daily basis in every area and the small things, He will promote you to more things. Now, those two words you were waiting on me to say earlier, and they are, in conclusion, thank you for telling me. I knew you couldn't wait for me to say it. Mark chapter 6, let me read those last two verses again. Mark 6, 12 and 13. So the disciples went out. Everybody say went out. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. The same thing they did then, we are called to do now. And whatever way and however the Lord opens the door for us. Again, it says, so the disciples went out. Being a disciple is not just coming in. 3 stars by this. Many believers are coming in to church service as the sum total of their Christian faith. Well, Pastor, you ought to be lucky I'm here today. I am glad you're here today. But can I tell you, as a believer, we are to do more than come in. We're also to go out. They went out. Now, I know in our differences of ages and limited times in our lives, we may not be able to do as much as we used to. Okay, hear me. Don't cast the baby out with the bathwater here. We need times of coming in. This is coming in right here. What we're doing this morning is coming in. Wednesday night is coming in and praying together and seeking God's power and authority. Those are coming in. But if that's the sum total of all of our Christianity is 2 times a week I go to church and the rest of the time I'm not concerned about it, we're missing the boat. Do we need the coming in? Absolutely. The apostles came together. They met together. They fellowshiped together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. They studied the word of God together. Acts 2:47. But it also, my Bible says, I don't know if yours does, it says, so the disciples went out. They went out to do ministry. You know where the majority of the ministry ought to take place from Noble Assembly of God? It's out there. Every one of you are a minister if you're a believer. You have a ministry. You have a ministry. We all have a ministry, a place. We are all witnesses. The people who need Jesus, most all of them aren't here today. There may be somebody here today that's not a believer and needs the Lord to save them. And so we're thankful for you're here, and I hope you give your heart to the Lord. But the majority of the people that need Jesus aren't in here. They're out there. We're here just a little bit of time a week, an hour or two on Sunday morning and maybe on Wednesday night. With the exception of other little things we come to, Bible studies, prayer meetings, sewing circles, whatever it is, activities that take place here during the week. So we need to come in, but we also need to go out. We need to reach out beyond our church. So being a disciple is not just coming in. When all you are interested in is coming in, there is little need for praying and waiting on God for supernatural power and authority and interceding for the lost. There is little need for getting more of God so that you can pour out when all the focus is simply on coming in. We need to do both. We need to come in. We need to go out. Just like breathing. You know the problem with the Dead Sea? You know why the Dead Sea's dead? I've swam in the Dead Sea. You can't even sink in the Dead Sea. When I was over there in 2004, you can just lay down in the water and you can't even go underwater. It's so thick. But do you know why it's dead? It's because its stuff flows in, but nothing flows out. The Sea of Galilee, a few miles north, is a nice, healthy sea. I've got water in a cup or in a, whatever this thing is, bottle, thank you. I'm losing it. I've got water in a bottle like this in my office at my house that is from the Sea of Galilee. And you know what? It's labeled and says Sea of Galilee on it. You know why it's labeled? Because it looks just like this. I couldn't believe that when our tour guide said, you guys can get, if you've got a water bottle, it's empty, get you some of the Sea of Galilee and take it with you back to the States. But he said, I'll tell you this, you better label it. I'm thinking, why? I mean, if I put together a bottle of water from Lake Thunderbird, I don't need to label it. I've been in that lake. I've looked at that water. It's nasty, muddy, yucky, gross. I sure don't need to label it that I might accidentally drink it. He said, you need to label the Sea of Galilee water because it looks just like your drinking water. It is so pure. It's amazing. And it does. It looks just like that. You can't see anything in it. There is no discoloration of any kind. And that's been, what, almost 9 years ago. It was 9 years ago this month, 2014. Again, back to my example, the Dead Sea is dead and it looks horrible. If I put some of that water in here, it's dead because it all comes in, but nothing goes out. The Sea of Galilee is fresh and wonderful because it flows in and it flows out. The same is true for us. As we take in through services, through prayer meetings, through worship, through Sunday school, through the Word, through whatever ministries involvement we're taking in, and then as we give out, we stay fresh and full of the power and the anointing and the authority of God. Boy, it's good preaching. Whew. We are responsible by the power of the Holy Spirit to make sure the message of the gospel is being sent. And not only being sent, but that it is delivered and received. Let's be God's hands. Let's be God's feet. Let's be God's voice to a hurting world. Father God, help us, we pray. Help us, Lord, to go and take the gospel of the message of love and grace, message of Jesus to this world. When we meet people on the street, when they come to our house for one reason or another, when we run into the grocery store, when we touch base with our neighbors over the back fence, whatever the case may be, Father God, even if we're very bold and we just decide to knock on doors, I pray, Father God, that you would use us. Help us to exercise that authority and that power and that grace and that love that you've put in us. Because there is a world out there that needs Jesus. There is a world that needs to know of his love and his mercy and his grace and his life-changing power. So, Father, help us, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit. Let us not just come in, but let us be sent out. Let us send forth this message from our lives. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ radiate from our lives in this world. Thank you, Lord. As the singers come and do a song, I just like to open these altars. If you need prayer for salvation, if you need prayer for healing,
you need prayer for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you just need prayer to get closer to God, and you just want to pray because this message spoke to you, I invite you to come. Find a place to pray around these altars. It's not too late. 5 till 12. Your roast will keep a few more minutes. Let's seek the Lord together as they sing this song. Whatever you need, if you need prayer, let me know. I will pray with you. Pastor Phil as well.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth or heaven above that I have found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you, all to you. Jesus, Jesus, my offering, all my ambitions, my hopes, my dreams. Here's my life, Lord, a sacrifice, oh, just to bless you. I just want to move your heart, get caught within your gaze right here in your presence. God is where I want to stay, oh, just to dwell in your house, waste my hours and my days. Fragrance, then I'll pour my oil out.
I'm sure the songwriter meant differently, but put that back up there, Kelvin. I don't know that any time in God's house is wasting hours. I would say it's investing. Amen. So like I said, no harm to the songwriter. I'm sure that's what he put, but it's never a waste to be in the house of God. Never a waste to come around and to seek his face. Never a waste of time. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We pray, God, that you would just help us all, Lord, to draw closer to you, to be more in tune with you, Lord. None of us have arrived. We all have a journey yet ahead of us. And we all have spiritual progress to make. So, Lord, help us, God, to give it all we've got with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.